Okay, we're beginning here by the two dots on the top of Yud Amud Aleph. Omer Rava, Me'achar Dichtev Amdam Hashem Ve'amakom Dam Hashem. After the Pesukim already tell you that you put the Shemen for the Mitzorah in the place of the Dam Hashem or Makom Dam Hashem, Uchtiva, and we already know it says Yimanit Bidam, that by the Dam Hashem, the Pesuk already says, Lakach Algein Midam Hashem, Ve'natan HaKoyen Al Tanuch Ozen Amiteh Yimanit, Valbon Yadar Yimanit, Valbon Raglo Yimanit. And then, three psukim later, it tells you that mi yeter ha-shemen, from the remainder of the shemen, ashrela kapo, that's on the head of the kohen, itena kohen, al tenuch ozen amiteh yamanit, valbon yado yamanit, valbon raglo yamanit, al dam ha-sham, in the same place as the dam ha-sham. But once you say in the same place as the dam ha-sham, we already defined that the dam ha-sham goes on the, al tenuch ozen amiteh yamanit, bon yado yamanit, valbon raglo yamanit. So then why do you need to tell me with regards to the shemen that it goes on tnuch ozen amiteh yamanit, bon yado yamanit, valbon raglo hayamanit? And that's what Rava asks over here. Al bon yado yamanit, valbon raglo yamanit, dichtive b'shemen de mitzorah ashir v'ani. That written by the mitzorah ashir v'ani, because not only is said by the parshia of the tarat mitzorah ashir, but also by the ani. Lomali, why do I need all of this? Ela amar Rava. And therefore Rava gives a different approach. Rashi indicates here that Rava's questioning is following a pattern that we've seen all the way through. And that pattern is that Rabbi Zeira taught us from the word smalit that is repeated four times in the parshiot of Tarat HaMitzorah, twice by the Ashir, twice by Ani. From those four times, we were able to learn that, first of all, by the Mitzorah, you need to do it with your left hand. And number two, we learned that anywhere else that it uses the word kaf, then you would say that it's yamin and not small. After that, we had a question from Rabbi Yirmiya, and Amarle Rabbi Yirmiya, Rabbi Zeira, and the question, according to Rashi, was, if you're already darshaning all the extraneous language, then help me understand what is the reason for the fact that it says, Abon Yadoy Menit, Vabon Ragloa Yemanit, Tichtiv, Bishemin de Mitzora Ashir Vani, Lomali. According to Rashi, the question there of Rabbi Yirmiya to Rabbi Zeira is not a fundamental question on Rabbi Zeira, but simply a question about extraneous language. If you already doresh the times that it says smalit, then help me understand boin yadoy yamanit, vabon raglo yamanit, that's also repeated throughout the parsha. Similar to what Rava's question is now, that's the same question that Rabbi Yirmiya was asking, just about boin yado. If already by the dam it told us that you had to put it on the ozen amiteir, boin yado, and boin raglo, then why by the shemen does it repeat ozen amiteir, boin yado, and boin raglo? That's true by the Mitzorah Ashir, and it's also true by the Mitzorah Ani. So what are those extraneous Boin Yado V'Raglo coming to teach you? The Gemara answered, Chad, meaning that one Boin Yad V'Regel comes to teach you that Stadim are okay, even if you don't put it on the top of the big toe or the top of the thumb, but on the sides, it's okay. Chad, one Boin V'Regel comes to teach you that Sidate Stadim are problematic. If you put it on the lower part of the thumb, meaning on the part of the thumb that is the same side as the palm, or you put it on the lower part of the big toe, meaning on the part that faces the ground, that would be problematic. So therefore we explained why there was extraneous language of bon yado and bon reglo. And then the Gemara went on to ask, al dam ha-sham and al makom dam ha-sham, why do you need to write that both by the ashir and the ani? One of those is extraneous. And that the Gemara answered, because it needs to teach you that number one, the dam is not a chatzitza. And number two is, even if the dam's not there, it's okay. And all Rava does is extends that question and says, okay, you explained to me why it says boin yad and boin regel, but you didn't explain to me why it says yimanit, because there it repeats yimanit as well. And then I have an extra yimanit then by the mitzorah shir and mitzorah ni, and why do I need all of those words yimanit? And then along comes the Gemara and says, Elama Rava. Rava changes the approach now, and says that Rabbi Zeira's drasha of the four smalit is incorrect, and now we're going to take a new approach. That's the way Rashi reads the Gemara until this point. The Balya Tosafot over here note a number of issues with Rashi's interpretation, including the fact that, as we were saying it, the Sukkim actually have three extraneous things, which is Tnuch Ozen, Hamiteir, Bon Yado Yemenit, Bon Raglo Yemenit. Why does the Gemara ignore Tnuch Ozen Hamiteir Yemanit? Not in Rabbi Yirmiya's question, and not in Rova's question, do we find that there is any question about the extraneous nature of Tnuch Ozen Hamiteir Yemanit. Why is that absent according to the questioning of Rashi? Number two is, according to Rashi, where you can learn from Ashir to Ani, then why is it that the Dam HaSham, when we say that We need that the gufei. Why do we need that to be the gufei twice? Why do you need to have damasham that it goes on the tnu chosnim etar minit v'albonya doy minit v'albonya galoy minit to repeat it both by mitzora shir and mitzora ni? Rashi takes it for granted that both of those are needed for the gufei to teach you that din in general. Then only the shemin is extraneous. Why isn't it true that after you wrote that by mitzora shir, by the mitzora ni, that is also extraneous because you know it from mitzora shir? Why do you need to read it by Mitzora Ani? Just like the way that Rabbi Zerah asked about Smalit, that's found both by Mitzora Shir and by Mitzora Ani. All of them were extraneous except for one of them. So say the same thing over here. Thirdly, when Rabbi Yirmiyah questions Rabbi Zerah, it sounds like he's questioning Rabbi Zerah more fundamentally. According to Rashi, it's not a fundamental question, it's just an extension of that which we were saying before. But the statement says, Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah, Rabbi Zerah, sounds like he's challenging him. And according to Rashi, there's really no challenge to Rabbi Zerah's position. In addition, why doesn't the Gemara give you the information by Rabbi Yirmiyah? Because it already says it by Dam Hasham, therefore the part by Shemin is extraneous. It does it now by Rova. Why didn't it do the same thing when it was speaking in Rabbi Yirmiyah? The absence of that means Ikar Chaser Min HaSefer. For all those reasons, the Bali HaTosafot bring from the Perush HaRi a different approach to the Gemara from beginning to end, which really makes all the questions, not questions like Rashi says about the extraneous language and extending this idea that we have to find a reason for all the extraneous language, but rather that each of the statements or questions along the way is a challenge to Rabbi Zerah's position. And you can see this more clearly in Ot Lamed in the Shita Mikubetzet, where he explains this more explicitly than even the Bali HaTosafot over here, that the questions are more directed at Rabbi Zerah than at the extraneous language. That is, according to the Bali HaTosafot, the question of Rabbi Yirmiyah to Rabbi Zerah is the following. You just told us that the word smalit teaches you that anywhere it uses the term kaf in the Torah, that means right and not left. So just like you think by kaf it means right and not left, so too you should say the same thing with regards to bo'en yad and bo'en regel, meaning that unless the Torah indicates otherwise, you've told us now that smalit is unique to the mitzora because it says smalit. Everywhere else in the Torah, a limb of the body means right. And that's the nature of the question here, which is, now, according to the Bali HaTosafot, that's the end. The next few words are not in the girsa. And he says, even if you put them into the girsa, it's just an emphasis of question, which is, why do you need the yamanit to be written both by Dam HaSham of the Ashir, the Dam HaSham of the Ani, the Shemin of the Mitzora Ashir, and the Shemin of the Mitzora Ani? All of those, why do you need them to be written? Or, for emphasis, it is, why do you have to have it written by Shemin Mitzora the Ashir? Forget about Ani, why do you need it by the Ashir? Lamali, why do you need them? You've already told us that everything is Yamin. Because had it not been for Rabbi Zerah's drasha, then all the words Yamanit would have been necessary, the gufe, to teach you that it's on the right and not the left. But now that Rabbi Zerah already told us that everything is on the right, unless you're told otherwise that it's on the left, then all these words of Yamanit become extraneous. So then why do I need the Bo'en Yador Raglio HaYamanit? Why do you need to tell me about the right? So that the Gemara answers, Chadach Shir Tzadim. The reason for that is that we need the Yamanit in those cases, let's say by the Dam, to teach us that not only is it okay to put it on the right big toe and the right thumb, but also you have a right then to put it on the Tzadim, and the one that by the Shemin comes to tell you that Tzidei Tzadim is no good. The problem then persists, and then they challenge Rabbi Zerah again, which is, then Al Dam HaSham and Al Makom Dam HaSham Lamayatu. Why do you need those? Again, challenging Rabbi Zerah, who says that Smalit comes and teaches you that Yamin is the default and Smalit is unusual and only in this case by the Kaf of the Kohen, by the Mitzorah. Then again, what do you need Makom Dam HaSham? The Makom Dam HaSham or Al Dam HaSham would come to teach you that just like the Dam HaSham is on the right, so too the Shemin is on the right side. Now, if you don't have the din of Rabbi Zerah, you can explain that by the Ashir and by the Ani, the Yamanit that's written by the Dam, had you not had Rabbi Zerah, would have been to teach you Yamanit. Al-Makom Dam HaSham, or Al-Dam HaSham would come to teach you by Shemin, you also need Yamanit. And then the extraneous Yamanit that's found by Shemin, both the Ashir and the Ani Mitzorah, one would teach you that Stadim are okay, and one would teach you that Sidei Stadim are not okay. And that would be fine. But now that you have Rabbi Zerah already teaches you that that yamin is automatic once you've used the word yad, then what do you need amakom dam hashem and dam hashem to teach you? It becomes extraneous. So the Gemara's answer was that we need that to teach you that you can place it on the dam itself, no chatzitza, and you could also place it in makom dam hashem even if the dam is not there. So now we solve that problem. So Rebbe goes further on to challenge us and say, now that we know from Rebbe Zeira that Smalit teaches me that the default is yamin, then again, why do I need the Yamanit that's written by Dam Hashem Adi Mitzor Ani Mitzor Ashir? So you'll tell me that's to teach me that Tzadim is okay and Sidei Tzadim is not okay. Why do I need Amakom Hashem, Amakom Dam Hashem? That's to teach me on the Dam is okay or on the place of the Dam is okay. Then what do I need the Yamanit that by the Mitzora Ashir and Mitzor Ani? Those are extraneous because I have nothing to do with them. I have no limud for them. Now, had it not been for Rabbi Zeira, as we explained before, it would be easy to understand the Parshia. The first Yamanit that's written by the Dam Hashem, both of the Mitzora Ashir and Ani, would become to tell you the basic din that has to be at the right side. The Mekom Dam Hashem and the Adam Hashem would come to teach you that the same is true by the Shemen. And the change in language would teach you that there's no problem to put it on the dam, and it's also no problem to put it on makom adam. And then the extra yamanit that's found by the shemen, by the ashir, it would teach you that tzadim are okay, and by the ani, it would teach you that sidei tzadim are not okay. But now that you have Rabbi Zeira, the whole gufei is not necessary, and therefore now the yamanit of the shemen amitzora becomes extraneous. El Amar Rava, Rava goes down a different approach now. We've rejected that the source for the fact that Kemitza b'smol is pasul by mincha derives from the fact that it wrote smalit four times. But rather, Rava says it derives from the fact that it says yamin and there's a gzeirah shava. And this goes whether it's for Rashi or for the Balei HaTosafot. That means that the yamin that's written by the Dam Hashem, by the Mitzora Ashir, is necessary the gufei to teach you it has to be done with the right hand. Then Al Dam Hashem, which is written there by the shemen, tells you that the shemen also has to be done with the right hand. And then the fact that there is extraneous language of yamin by the shemen comes to teach you the following gzeirot shavot that Rava lays out. So yad yad the kemitza, as Rashi notes over here, that by kemitza tamincha it is written ve'yakrev et hamincha vayimalei kapo mimena vayiktar lemizbeach mivlad olat haboker. Even though it uses the word kapo, it's similar to yad. A yad is a hand. Kapo is a palm of the hand. And therefore, we're going to have a loose gezeirah shava like that of Tana Debir Yishmael that says v'shava kohen u'bal kohen. And from there, we're going to have a gezeirah shava to teach you that the kmitzat mincha has to be done with your right hand. Although if you look in the Mesorah Shas, he brings another alternative, which is in Parshat Achrei Mot, when it speaks about the kohen doing the avodah, it says v'chiper kohen ashim shachuto v'ashe yimalei et yado l'kohen tachar aviv v'ashe bigdei abad bigdei hakodesh. And he says ashe yimalei et yado, that's the yado that we're speaking about for the gzeirah shava, because yimalei et yado is speaking about the minchat chinuch. That's the korban that's brought by kohen that goes into service, and that's a minchat chavitin. And there yado, the yado there tells you that it has to be done with the right hand. Although that is a little precarious because the minchat chavitin is a minchat kohen, and minchat kohen is kaleo, and there is no komets taken off of it. So you might have to do the korban with your right hand, but there's no din of komets over there, and therefore that becomes a difficult way to learn the gzeirah shava. Regel is a gzeirah shava from the Shemen Mitzora, where it uses the regel ayimanit, to chalitza, where the pasuk says, by chalitza, v'chalitza na'lo mi'al raglo. Which regel are we speaking about? Regel, the gzeirah shava to Mitzora teaches you we're speaking about the right leg, and that the chalitza must be done with the right foot of the individual, the brother who does not want to perform yibum. And then ozen comes to teach you about the ozen of the Eved Ivri, because there it says, Ratzad aduna v'etozno, that if Eved Ivri wants to stay past the time period of his servitude of 6 years, and he wants to stay till the Yovel, then the master has to pierce his ear. Which ear, we don't know. So ozno teaches you that it's his right ear, that we learn out from ozno yamanit, from mitzora. And in that way, we have the gzeirat shavot, using or utilizing up the extraneous words of yamin that are found by shemen. Now, by Mitzora Ani, the Rabbeinu Shimshon claims that the additional yamin by the Dam Hashem and by the shemen is extraneous, and from that you'll learn about tzadim and sidei tzadim. Although, according to the way the Gemara follows here, anything that is written by Ani is not really extraneous, and therefore it's hard to know where Rava learns tzadim and sidei tzadim from. although as far as Dam HaSham and Mekom Dam HaSham, that could just come from the change in language between the Ashir and the Ani, and that would teach you Dam HaSham, teaches you that whether it's on the Dam. Mekom Dam HaSham teaches you whether it's in the place where the Dam was. Either of those would be fine or would work. So the only thing that we are left with, according to Rava, that we don't know necessarily is where we know the din of tzadim and tzidei tzadim. Although the truth is that, as the Sfatim Ed points out in the Gemara earlier, that Rashi says the word al means bisamuch, means close to, and therefore it might just derive from the statement of al. Al means in that location or close to that location. And there's no reason that tzidei tzadim should be okay, because where's the riboy to say that it should be okay, that you'd have to say that it's problematic. Tzidei tzadim is not al, it's not bisamuch. And therefore maybe it's just a natural derivative of the language, and therefore Rava doesn't need a separate limud to teach you that. So the Gemara says, okay, that's a great explanation according to Rava, but now what do you do with the extra word small? We understand that he doesn't darshan like Rabbi Zeira, but now you have the extra word small because there's the core word small that is found in the psukim in Vayikra Yudalid, which is lakach ha-kohen milog ha-shem yitzak al-kav ha-kohen ha-smalit. That's the core smalit, so that's the gufei. Then v'tavala kohen etzvo yamanit min ha-shem yishal kapo ha-smalit v'izam min ha-shem etzvo shem v'famim v'fnei ha-shem. That kapo ha-smalit is extraneous. You don't need the second smalit. It's already obvious from the first one. And that's what the Gemara asks over here. According to Rava, smalit, here we have an argirsas ha-ani, which is clearly incorrect. It should be shel ha-shir. Lamayato, which is the second word smalit that appears by Ashir. What does that come for? Amar Rav Shishi Brei de Rav Yidi, Lifsol Yamin to Kohen Mitzora. That comes to tell you that the Yamin by the Kohen Mitzora is problematic. Shelo Tomar, so that you don't say, Mava Makom Shelo Nitrabta Small Nitrabta Yamin. In a place where you can't use small, a default, or automatically we assume that you can use Yamin, Makom Shelo Nitrabta Small Inudin Shelo Nitrabta Yamin, then certainly in a place where you can use left, then you should also be able to use right. Meaning in places where right is necessary, it means right exclusively and not left, then a place where we give you a dispensation to use left, it should be also left. Meaning left and right should be fine in that case. So then along comes the second smalit to tell you, no, it's exclusive. Only the left hand and nothing more. The idach smalit, the additional left, as well as yad virega yamin de'ani lemayato. Now again, that would depend on what we said before in the Balei Tosafot. The Shita Mikubetzit over here takes out the Girsa of the Yad Regel Yamanit Da'ani and says the question's only about the Smalit. That might be like the Rabbeinu Shimshon, who says we do use the Yamanit of the Ani for the Limudim, and therefore it's not a question. But if you think that the entire Parshia of Ani is subject to the answer we're going to give now, then the question applies to the Yad and Regel Yamin of the Ani as well. And that is, what are you going to do with the extraneous, not the first smalit that's written by the Ani in Pasuk Chavav, which is Amin Hashem Yitzokoyen al Kaf Koyen Asmalit, rather than one in Chav Zayin, just like by the Ashir, where it repeats it again, Mizizah Koyen Vetzvo Yamanit, Min Hashem Yitzokoyen al Kaf Asmalit, Sheva Pamim Lifnei Hashem. So why do you have the second smalit there? And why do you have the Yamin that is written by the Shemin of the Mitzora Ani? Those also are extraneous. Marzad Zekdana Debei Rabbi Shmal. That follows the Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel, called Parsha Shneamar V'Nishneit. Anytime you have a Parsha in the Torah that is repeated, Lo Nishneit Ela B'Shvi'a Davar Shenitchadesh Ba. The only reason it's repeated is because of the fact that there's something new. By the Mitzora Ani, we have something new, which is that you have a different korban. You bring birds instead of behemot. So that change is sufficient reason to repeat an entire Parsha. And for all the words that you consider to be extraneous because they're repeated by Ani are not extraneous. They're there because you need to repeat the Parsha for those things that are new. All the other stuff that is just around it or surrounds it is there because of the new item, but they themselves are not extraneous, and you don't have to make any drusha from them. So, Amar Rabbi Barchan, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Kol Makom Shneemra Etzba V'Kuhuna, Einu El Yamin. Anytime in the Torah you have Etzba and Kuhuna, that means that you must use your right hand. Kazalcha Datcha Etzba V'Kuhuna Be'inan. We would have thought that that statement meant that you need both Etzba and Kuhuna. Kirichtiv. Like it says, V'lakach HaKohen Midam HaChatat Be'etzba'o. There it says Kohen, and it says Etzba'o. V'Gamar MiMitzora. And we learn it out from Mitzora, Dichtiv. V'Tavala Kohen Ed Etzba'o Yimanit. And he puts his right finger. So the paradigm is the Kohen with Etzba'o HaYimanit, found by Mitzora. And then you have by the Chatat, Lakach HaKohen Midam HaChatat Be'etzbo. So you have Kohen Etzbo. So you would have thought you need both of them to demand that it be done with the right hand. And then, Harei Kemitzah. What are you going to do about a Kemitzah? Lo Ktiva Ba Ela Kehuna. Over there, Kehuna is only written, but Etzba is not written. It's none. And yet we have a Mishnah, our Mishnah, Kamatz B'Smol Pasol. if you do kmitza with your left hand, it is pasul. So where's the source for that if you say you need both kuna and etzba? Over here you don't have the word etzba, yet we still have a demand for yamin. The truth is, there's an easy answer to that. That's Rava's limud before of yad yad, the kmitza. That was the limud that taught us that it was a right hand. Seems that the Gemara ignores that over here. Either the Gemara is not subscribing to that limud of Rava, or you have to say, even according to Rava, there's two different dinim of kmitza with the yamin. Which you're going to see in the second half of today's daf, there is a necessity to take the kmitza out of the kli sharet with yamin, and then there's a second requirement to put the kmitza into a kli sharet that is with your yamin, or that you're holding that kli sharet by yamin. That we'll see later in today's daf. But that means that there's two different stages. And the Gemara is asking about that second stage. How do you know that it has to be done by yamin? Or the challenge comes from the fact that a Reish Lakish made a definitive statement that when you have kahuna and etzba, then you have yamin. If you only have kahuna, the implications would be that you shouldn't have yamin. Yet we're having a situation where you have yamin, even though only kahuna is mentioned, despite the fact that it comes from another limud, that still might undermine the principle that Reish Lakish is setting up, that when you just have kahuna, you don't have yamin. Amar Rava, so Rava comes along and says, O etzba, O kahuna. It's not and, but rather or. Either etzba or kahuna is sufficient to demand yamin. So Amar Abaye, if that really true, Vare Olachat Ivarim Lakevesh, you have the taking of the pieces of the animal, of the korban olah, to the ramp to put them on the mizbeach, tichtibu kihuna, because it says in beginning vayikdi parshiyat olah, it says v'ikriva koenet hakol v'kter mizbecha v'mamar, and we said about that zolachat erarim lekevish, that's the taking of the limbs to the ramp. V'tnan haregel shiyamin b'smol ubeit ora lachutz, it comes to the right leg of the animal that goes in your left hand, ubeit ora lachutz, and the sealed part, I mean the part that was not cut, is outward. And the right hand, he takes the head and the fats. So that's the primary thing that you're taking to the mizbeach. So that goes in the right hand, but the coin is carrying with his left hand. How could it be that he's carrying with his left hand? It says, "Rekriva koin et hakol v'kter mizbecha," which means that koin is mentioned, and yet we're allowing you to use your left hand to carry the limbs up to the mizbeach. Where it says, "Ki aminan o etzba o kuna b'davar mekev kapara." When we say that etzba or kuna has meaning in terms of forcing you to use your right hand, that's only in avodot that are me'akev the kapara. Holacha devarim the mizbeach is not me'akev the kapara. That's either because holacha is not necessary, as Rashi notes over here, because either you could do it adjacent to the mizbeach, or you could do it with the line of kohanim, a fire line, and pass it along and never have to do holacha. Or as Rashi says in Zvachim, you don't have to put the ivarim on the mizbeach at all. They're not makev the kapara whatsoever. Again, the paradigm is mitzora. And by mitzora, the process of etzba and the placement of these items on the mitzora is makev the kapara. So that is the paradigm would only be true if you are now comparing kuna or etzba to that with regards to items that are makev kapara. Dvarei Kabbalah, when it comes to Kabbalat Adam, davar makev kaparahu, that's something that is makev kapara, bekata bakuna. And the word kuna appears, dichtiv, ikrivu bnei aron akonim et adam, zo kabbalat adam. Yet, v'tnan, we have a Mishnah that tells us in Zvachim, kibel b'smol, pasal. He has kabbalah b'smol, it's pasal, Rabbi Shimon makshir. And Rabbi Shimon says it's fine. How could Rabbi Shimon say it's fine if the word kuna appears over there? So Rava says back to him, the Rabbi Shimon kamart? You challenging me from Rabbi Shimon? Rabbi Shimon tarte bai. Rabbi Shimon requires both kuna and etzba. The chamim require only one or the other. But Rabbi Shimon requires both. That's why by Kabbalat Adam, where it's only kuna mentioned, not etzba, he says you can do it with your left hand. Umi bai Rabbi Shimon tarte. Does Rabbi Shimon really need both of them? Atanya. Rabbi Shimon omer koma comes nemra yad enu el yamin. Anytime the word yad is used in the Torah, it's the right etzba. If it's a finger, enu el yamin. So Gemara says, etzba lo bai. That's true. If you just have etzba or yad, they don't require kuna to teach you that it is right. Kuna by etzba. On the other hand, if the word kuna is mentioned, that's not sufficient of itself. You need etzba. So the truth is, in the end, that all you need is etzba or yad. Meaning kuna makes no difference. Since by kuna you need yad for etzba, yad for etzba is the driving force. Because if they were alone, they'd also give you yamin. So then Gemara asks, Ela Kohen Lomali. The pasuk says, "Veshachad ben makar lifnei Hashem v'ikrivu bnei Aron ha-kohanim et adam v'zarku et adam ha-mizbeach saviv asher petach ha-moed." So it already says v'ikrivu bnei Aron. What's the additional ha-kohanim coming to teach you? If you use kohanim to teach you that it means yamin, then you can explain to me the extraneous nature of the kohanim. But if you don't think it's teaching yamin, why do you need the extra kohanim over here? What is that teaching you in these cases? Bikuhuno, to teach you that it has to be a kohen big kihuno means that he has to be in his big day kihuna. He has to be a kohen that is functioning like a kohen, that he's dressed in his uniform as a kohen. Otherwise, he is not qualified to do the avoda. So the Gemara says, "Vari zrika." What about zrikat adam? To lochtav be ele kihuna. That the word kihuna, it only appears there because it says zaku bnei aron kohenim that they do the zrika. It's none. And we have a Mishnah, Zarak Bismo Pasul. Do Zrika with your left hand, it's Pasul. Below Palig Rabbi Shimon. And Rabbi Shimon never argues over there. Why doesn't Rabbi Shimon argue if the word Kuna is all that appears there? There's no word Etzpa. Now, this leads to a major consternation within the Rishonim. And you can see the large Balei Tosfot over here, because the problem is there is no such Mishnah in Shas. We actually saw this when we discussed this in Zvachim, that there is never a Mishnah that says Zrika b'smol is pasul. We don't have anything like that. And the Gemara infers from that that Rabbi Shimon agrees because he doesn't argue. Well, there's no such Mishnah, and there's no such Mishnah. Of course, Rabbi Shimon doesn't argue because it doesn't exist. So the Balei Tosfot bring answers from the Rabbeinu Shmuel, the Rashbam, who suggests that it's a diuk from the previous Mishnah that we quoted, where it speaks about Kabbalat Adam. The fact that the Mishnah specifically says by Kabbalat Adam that it has to be done by Yamin, and Rabbi Shimon argues, the fact that the Mishnah never mentions Zrikat Adam implies that Rabbi Shimon does not argue by Zrikat Adam. So it's a inference that is drawn from Kabbalat Adam that we get this din of Zrikat Adam, even though it's not mentioned explicitly. On the other hand, the Rabbeinu Tam is loath to accept that explanation, and therefore the Rabbeinu Tam, similar to what he says in the Gemara in Zvachim, says that the Girsa here should not be Zrika, but rather Milika. And that is based on the Mishnah in Zvachim of Malak Bismol Pasul. And over there we don't have Rabbi Shimon arguing. And there it's Malak HaKohen. The Kohen does the Milika. And so why is it that Rabbi Shimon doesn't argue over there? It doesn't allow for Smol. So I'm Rabbaye Polig Bebraita. In Ochanami, even though Rabbi Shimon doesn't argue in the Mishnah, he does argue in the Braita. Tatanya Kibel Bismol Pasul. That would be problematic. Rabbi Shimon Machshir. Rabbi Shimon is Machshir. And then, Zarak Bismol Pasul, Rabbi Shimon Machshir. So you see from that, that Rabbi Shimon does argue by Zrika, and therefore it's not a question, and obviously according to the Rabbeinu Tam, it would be Malak Bismol, instead of Zarak Bismol. And so the Braita is filling in the information that's missing from the Mishnah. And as Rashi notes over here, the Gemara could have asked the question from Kamitza itself. By Kamitza itself, it only says Kehuna, and in our Mishnah it says Kamatz Bismol is Pasul. And we don't find that Rabbi Shimon argues. So Rashi says that's not a problem because the Gemara upcoming is going to bring a drasha that teaches us that there is a requirement for Yamin if you do a biyad by a kmitza. And since that is true, Rabbi Shimon has an alternate drasha over here that tells you you have to have Yamin and it's not coming from Kihuna. The Balei Tosafot don't love that answer because if you know that Braita that's upcoming, you would also have known that by Zrika Bismol, Rabbi Shimon argues. Because over there he also says that if you do it ke'asham, then you could do it bismol, which means that he believes that zrikat adam can be done bismol. And then that information would have obviated the need for an answer over here with regards to zrika bismol. Therefore, the Balei Tosafot suggests that Rabbi Shimon would have relied on Rova's drasha of yad yad to teach you that kmitza is binyamin. And therefore, the question from kmitza is not a valid question because you have an alternate drasha that brings you yamin, and not because of the word kuna that is found by kmitza. So then, going back, and this is the question we noted before a little bit, but here it is in a different manner because we have this additional limud now, which is the yad yad of Rava. Why do I need it to teach you that you need yamin by the kmitza? Mikuna nafka. It says v'kamatza kohen. We know already that kuna teaches you right. So then why do you need yad yad to teach you use your right hand? So this is the answer the Gemara gives. Chad the komets, chad the kiddush komets. One of them is for the komets itself, to take the komets out of the kli sharet of the mincha. You need to do that with your right hand. V'chad the kiddush komets. And the other one is for the sanctification of the komets. The possibility is here that if you did the kmitza with the right hand, then you can't move it over to the left hand. You can see in the Shita Mekubetzet Ol Gimel that he says that that's impossible to say, because further on in the Gemara, Rabbi Shimon says if you move it from your right hand to your left hand, that is equivalent of dam shenishpach kodem kabbalato b'kli, and it's pasul. As if the dam fell on the floor, and you can't pick it up afterwards. And you don't need an extra limud to teach you that it is pasul. The Chazon Ish tries to answer by saying that it's a case where it's a different kohen. If it is the same coin, that's the equivalent of spilling it on the ground. But if it's a different coin that comes and takes it in his left hand, that's not like spilling it on the ground because it was never in his right hand. And therefore, maybe you would have thought him starting with his left hand and taking it from the coin who had it in his right hand and placing it in the kli would have been okay. That's when it comes to dispel over here. Whereas the Kilat Yaakov says that this is the source for that halacha later on, which is the fact that if you had not had a miut to tell you that putting it bismol into the kli sharet is problematic, then moving it from your right to left hand would not have been problematic. It's only problematic because you have a miut that says putting it by your small into the kli sharet is problematic. And so this is the source for the fact that we have this din later on, and not vice versa, that the din later on precludes the necessity for a miut over here. But rather, the miut over here makes it that small is problematic, and that's why the Gemara later on says you move from right to left, that's kanish Dama, it's the equivalent of spilling the blood. Had it been that left was okay, then it wouldn't be considered like nishbach dama. So here Rashi explains it's the placement of the komets into the kli sharet has to be done with the right hand. Rashi and Zvachim, on the other hand, explains that it means he has to hold the kli sharet into which the komets is being placed has to be held in the right hand, and that's why you need two kohanim to do it. That's what we mentioned earlier, that you need multiple kohanim to do this, because you need a kohen to hold the kli sharet in his right hand, in order for you to place it with your right hand into that kli sharet. And that's what the additional right hand is coming to teach you. Oh, the Rabbi Shimon, to lo by kiddush komets. According to Rabbi Shimon, who does not require the kiddush of the komets. So Rashi says that kiddush komets, b'mincha ki kabbalah b'dam. And we know that kabbalah b'dam is small as pasul, but Rabbi Shimon is machshir. And if he's machshir there by kabbalah b'dam, then the kiddush of the komets of into the mincha should be no different than kabbalat adam, and Rabbi Shimon would be machshir. Olaman damar nami de bai kiddush komets Rabbi Shimon. Or even according to the one who says that Rabbi Shimon does require kiddush komets ubesmol achshurei machshir, but he allows you to do it with your left hand. So this is a machloket amoraim upcoming in the Gemara that we'll see between Rabbi Yanai and Rabbi Nachman bar Yitzchak as to what is the day of Rabbi Shimon with regards to kli sharet by the komets. Is there a requirement of kli sharet to put the komets into a kli sharet? And therefore, what Rabbi Shimon is saying, you can do with your left hand. Or does Rabbi Shimon not even require kiddush komets bikli? So either one of those, that means that the kiddush of komets either isn't required at all, or if it is required, you can do it with your left hand. So yad yad de rova lomali. Then what do you need yad yad for rova for? Ila kamitza gufa. So if you're saying to me it's going to come to teach you about kamitza itself, because now Rabbi Shimon doesn't believe that kohen by itself is sufficient to teach you yamin. So therefore maybe by kamitza you need it, alibi Rabbi Shimon, if it's kamitza, mid Rabbi Yehuda b'reid Rabbi Chiya nafka. That he knows already from Rabbi Yehuda b'reid Rabbi Chiya, and you don't need this limud. I'm Rabbi Yehuda b'reid Rabbi Chiya, my time with Rabbi Shimon, what's the reason behind Rabbi Shimon? Don't make Kodesh Kodeshim hi, kachatat v'chasham. The mincha is Kodesh Kodeshim, similar to a chatat and a sham. Why is it compared both to a chatat and to a sham? Balo uvda b'yad, uvda b'yamin kechatat. If you do it with your hand, you gotta do it with your right hand. Balo uvda b'kli, if you wanna do it in a kli, uvda b'smol kasham. Then you can do it with your left hand like an asham. Rashi over here says, like the asham mitzora, dichtiv b'smol. Which is just like by the Hashem Mitzorah, you use your left hand for the dam and for the shemen into which you collect them and then put them onto the Mitzorah. So just like by Hashem Mitzorah, left is utilized. So to over here, you can utilize left. Although the Shita Mikubetzet in Ot Yudalit says, Vasham Lav Davka El Elishin Dekro Noki. It's not necessarily about the Hashem, but it's about Kabbalat Adam in general. Ki Hashem is just similar to all Korbanot besides the Chatat. Chatat requires right, even according to Rabbi Shimon, because according to Rabbi Shimon, if you have the word etzba, it requires right hand. And by chatat, we have the word etzba mentioned. So since etzba is mentioned, Rabbi Shimon agrees that right-handedness is required, or right-fingeredness is required by the chatat. By a sham, or any other korban besides a chatat, we don't have the word etzba mentioned. And therefore, there's no requirement for right-handedness by any of the other korbanot. And a sham here is just an example of another korban. And since, according to Rabbi Shimon, Kabbalat Adam in general is mutar b'smol, then just like that parallel case by the Mincha, which is the Netinat HaKometz b'kli, can also be done b'smol. So from Rashi, it sounds like you have two options here, either to do it entirely with your right hand, like you do by a chatat, or you could do it with your left hand through Kiddush Kli. But that means, according to Rashi, there is no Kiddush Kli in the path that you take with regards to Yamin, if you do it b'yad. On the other hand, if you do it b'kli, then there's a requirement for Kiddush Kli. The Baal Tosafot questioned that and say then, how do you reconcile between Rabbi Yehuda b'reid Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Nachman later on, who says that you do need Kiddush Kli? The Baal HaTov Sfot reconciled that by saying that we're not speaking about the process of being Mekadesh the Komets, rather the taking of the Komets and being Maktirat on the Mizbeach. And that after Kiddush Kli, then you can either take it up as small and put it on the Mizbeach, or you can take it out of the Kli and take it up Biyad and do it Biyamin. And that way you can reconcile between Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak and Rav Yehuda Rabbi Chia. But either way, now you have, according to Rabbi Shimon, a source for using your right hand by Kamitza, that you learn from the word Chatat. And you don't need Yad Yad of Rava. Where it says, Lo nitzuch el komets de minchat chote. You need it for the komets or the kamitza taken off of a minchat chote. Sagadat chamino v'amar Rabbi Shimon. Like we saw earlier, the Rabbi Shimon says, Shelo yeh korbano mehudar. The reason that the korban minchat chote comes without shemen, without livona, is that Esoda's korban is not enhanced, is not beautiful, but rather it's a simple type of korban. And that is to reflect the nature of it being a chatat and not being a fancy, generously donated type of korban. This is a korban that was compelled because of the misbehavior of the individual. And so as we know, Rabbi Shimon is doresh time of the kraw. Rabbi Shimon is doresh the reasoning behind psukim. But for Rabbi Shimon, it's not simply the reasoning, but the reasoning has halachic implications. So you would have thought the fact that Rabbi Shimon says the deficit of levona and shemen over here is necessitated by the fact that this cannot be a korban mehudar. And even though he's now saving money by not having to add these items in, nevertheless, we still say that he does it dry because it shouldn't be mehudar. Maybe I would extrapolate that to the processing of it as well. Shelo yeh korbano mehudar, ki kametz le'nami b'smol titkasher. If you do it with your left hand, it'll also be kosher, because we don't want you to have this fancier, enhanced type of korban. So even if you don't do it with your right hand, which is the right way to do it, and you do it with your left hand, maybe it would be okay by the korban minchat choteh. Kamash v'lon, that's what Yad Yad of Rava comes to teach you, that even by the minchat choteh, there is a requirement of yamin, or the kmitza must be done be yamin. Right now, we go back to the Mishnah, and the Mishnah said, Kamatz, Velab Yadot Tzvor, or Gargar Melach, that if he did the Kmitza, and in the Kmitza he found a pebble, or there was a grain of salt, oh, Koret Livona, or there were granules of frankincense that were found inside the Komets, Pasol, in that case it's Pasol, and as Rashi notes over here, even though when you put the Mincha into the Kli Sharet to start it out, you put the Levona on top of the Mincha, so how is it possible you take off a Kamitza without taking out any Levona? So he says that before you do the Kamitza on the Mincha, you push the Levona all the way to one end, and then you take the Kamitza out of the middle of the Mincha. So that way you get the Levona out of the way, and it's not problematic in terms of the Komets, doesn't get caught up in the Komets. And over here, Tosafot notes the problem that we mentioned in the Mishnah, which is, if there's a problem in the Komets, doesn't that already mean there was a problem in the Mincha itself and a Chisaron in the Mincha itself? And there we discuss the different possibilities, including that which Tosafot suggests over here, which is that the basic Mincha was brought at a size slightly larger than Yisaron to account for these types of problems. Now, Kohani Lamali, why do I need to tell you all these three different items? Tzricha, Ditan Etzror, had it just mentioned a pebble, Mishum Talab Bat HaKrovay. It's nothing that belongs in the Mizbeach at all. That's why it's a problem or a deficit in the Komets. Aval Melach, the Bat HaKrovay, salt that does end up in the Mizbeach, meaning the Mincha, or the Komets you're going to put on the Mizbeach, you're going to salt afterwards and place it on the Mizbeach. Tematit kasher. Therefore, if there's salt in there, and even though it diminishes the size of the Komets, nevertheless, it'll be kasher. V'tana melach. Had you written melach to tell you that that wasn't kasher? Delo ikve b'hadi mincha. Because it's not part of the mincha mi'ikara from the outset. On the other hand, the levona, which is part and parcel of the mincha from the outset, ematit kasher. Maybe that'd be fine when it gets caught up in the Komets. Kamash malan. That none of these three are good, or they are problematic and create a deficit or a diminishment of the komets in their psulim. And that's why it gives you all of them, because you would have had, I mean, if you had tzvor, you would have thought melach was okay. Had you had melach, you would have thought that levona was okay. So that's why in that progression, we say each one of them is problematic. As Rashi notes over here, if you just wrote levona in the outset, you would have known all three of them. So that is a fair question, but it's a literary style of the Mishnah, as Rashi notes over here. Because you started with a pebble, you have to go down this route of saying pebble, melach, and levona. But in Achanami, had you started with levona, you would have known all this information. But the Mishnah saying is, not only is a pebble a hefsek, but also melach. Not only is salt a problem, but also levona. And again, that's a stylistic way of presenting it, even though you could have just presented levona, and that would have told you all that information. Okay, we're going to stop here by the two dots on the top of Yud Aleph, Amud Aleph.